Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
We are live here on Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is heard in 28 countries, has been going since early February of this year. So thank you to everyone who's been listening. Thank you to those listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here we tell the story of why we are doing what we're doing and how we are helping others transform. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting and elevating everyone around them. If you have any questions for the guests, this is a live show, unless you're catching it on the replay on iTunes or Stitcher. But it's a live show, so you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, it is 657-383-1109. And my guest today is no different. She is absolutely impactful, absolutely amazing, blew my mind, and we had an amazing pre-show conversation. So welcome to the show, Sam Alvarez. What is going on?
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I'm so excited to be here.
I am super, super pumped to introduce you to the listeners, because I know when we were talking, I was like just blown away. And then reading your bio and everything, I was just like, holy crap. Like, it is amazing. So tell us, like, so first of all, I want everybody to know, like, where are you calling in from?
Last time we talked, I was in Prague, I think, or maybe Riga.
Yep,
I am
you're
in
Prague.
Lisbon, Portugal right now. Was I? Okay, I'm in Lisbon right now.
Yep. So you're in Lisbon, Portugal right now.
Correct.
That's insane. What are you doing there?
I came here for a couple of conferences for online business people. I did one this weekend and one the weekend before. And then I will be heading to Bangkok in a couple of weeks for another conference. This is big conference season for all the online business people. So we all get together and swap
wow.
stories and talk about fun stuff.
That's amazing. Because I remember when we talked, you were hanging out in Portugal, and then you're in Lisbon now. You're gonna head to Bangkok, and then where are you going after that?
Bangkok. I'm gonna head up to Chiang Mai, which is also in Thailand, but it's not quite
awesome.
Such a big city. I'm going to an accelerator there. So it's basically a house for 2 weeks with different successful entrepreneurs together focusing on specific things, as opposed to a conference where you go to kind of learn new stuff. This one is more like you go to execute on something that you learned in all of these conferences. So that one I'm looking forward to also.
Right. That is so awesome. So I know you're super busy, and I won't take up much of your time. So if you are ready to get started, I am ready to go.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. All right. So Sam Alvarez is a sales coach, serial entrepreneur, digital nomad, sales systems strategist, nurse practitioner, university faculty. What is that? Polyglot? Is that right?
Polyglot. It means
polyglot. Okay.
Many,
I was like, what is that? I had to Google that.
Yeah. Okay.
So explain real quick what that is.
Absolutely. So Pali means many, like a polygon, and glot means tongue. So polyglot literally means many tongues. So it means somebody who speaks multiple languages.
Oh, yeah. So she's a polyglot, a mindful human being who wants to help people achieve stable income and become their best ever selves. In 2013, after burning out as a nurse practitioner, Sam took time off to travel and learn languages. Simultaneously, two of your biggest desires, has since visited 26 countries, has lived in 11 of them on 5 continents. She's held 63 jobs. She speaks 8 languages fluently, right? I mean, we talked about this fluently, not just a couple words, but.
Nice that I can have a conversation in 8 languages, but I don't necessarily, I speak 3 fluently.
Right. Like, you can literally have a conversation. Yeah. It's not like hi and bye and, you know, that's about it. Like, So you've held 63 jobs. You can speak 8 languages, participated in a dozen or more online businesses, in addition to starting several of her own. Sam currently serves as a sales coach and sales systems strategist, helping businesses around the world stabilize revenue and live life fully. She designed and executed a sales system that has sold over $1.4 million in 2016 and tracking up to more than $2.5 million this year. There's links that are in the show notes that you can connect with Sam. And wow, that is, you designed a system that has sold in 2016 $1.4 million and to do that over like $2.5 million in 2017. That is amazing.
It was a lot of work and also a lot of fun. It's actually tracking to more than double now, closer to 3 million than 3.5 as we get further on. But I've had help.
That's insane. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Wow. So the first question that we always ask on the show, and I believe it is the very, very most important that you have to ask yourself every day. When you wake up, you have to ask yourself one simple question, and that is why. Why do we do what we do? So my question to you as we kick off the show, why do you do what you do today?
You know, as a digital nomad and as a person who's been successful in quite a few different areas of life and different careers and such, that's something that I work with every day, because it's cool to be able to be in Lisbon this month and Prague last month and Thailand next month. But when you can be anywhere in the world, you really have to sit down and think about, why am I where I am right now? Because I could be anywhere right now. Why am I in Lisbon right now? And so I have to wake up with my why every day. I don't have a house to wake up in. I don't have a job to go to at a particular place. I don't have, you know, I have a lot of friends, but they're not like necessarily in the physical place that I am. So I work with this question of myself every day. So I really, what drives me, there are 4 things that drive me.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is relationships. The motivating factor in my life is relationships. And when I say relationships, I mean intrapersonal, meaning relationship with yourself, interpersonal, meaning relationship between you and other people or other groups, as well as relationships between you and society, culture, environment, kind of bigger ideas like that. That really drives me to create meaningful relationships. The second tier for me is languages, music, and teaching. So I've always been about all 3 of those things. They've always factored into everything that I'm doing. I'm really blessed now that I fell into sales completely accidentally 4 or 5 years ago. Just, I was a nurse practitioner who left because I was burned out, started traveling the world. And after 6 months, realized I didn't want to stop. So I went to go find a job I could do online and ended up in sales. Well, it turns out that somebody whose genius is relationships does really, really well in sales. Now, I'm not selling, you know, widgets and such. I'm selling life-transforming experience, like as a sales coach, helping people, you know, make their livelihood happen or how they're communicating with themselves or thinking about money or learning, you know, about working with if I'm working with a coach, how they communicate with their clients. And it turns out that somebody who's bread and butter and passion is relationships, is ideally suited to do this kind of transformational life sales, like what I did for myself. Like, I went from making lots of money. I made, you know, over 100 grand a year as a nurse practitioner, and had the doctor parking, and everybody did whatever I said, and I had, you know, a really big ego, and decided I didn't want that anymore, and went to be a student again. I went to live in Japan for, you know, like anybody does. They quit their six-figure job and move to Japan for 6 months because you want to be a student, sleep on a tatami mat floor with a bunch of Vietnamese girls touching shoulders, you know, like you do. That's just my style, though. I love jumping and diving into things, and at this point, my why is, so I do my private coaching work, and I also do work with startups. So one startup, the startup that I designed the sales system for, that did 1.4 million last year, entirely on my efforts alone, and is now tracking to double that. There's actually a sales team now instead of just, you know, one person or one consultant. So I've transitioned now into, instead of just doing the sales, I'm doing coaching of my teammates. And I found out, oh my God, this is even cooler. I like this even more than I liked the sales. So for me, it's all about connecting with people and connecting with myself, my higher self, other people, their higher selves, and making an impact in the world. Anytime I am blowing somebody's mind or helping them transform their life, I'm really, really excited about that. I was just talking to somebody this morning. I had a call with somebody who's thinking about working with me, who I'd met at one of these conferences. And this person has multiple millions of visitors to their website every month, but has done nothing to monetize it. So if she sold the website today, it would be worth $250,000. But that would not be the right thing for her. She loves her site. She's been working on it for a long time. She would do it for free. So helping people go through those decisions, like, okay, do you want 250 grand or do you want to continue working on your passion project and maybe make, you know, 5 grand or 25 grand on it a week instead of like one big chunk and then not having, you know, this is your passion project. You've been doing this for 10 years. Don't sell this, but let's find a way you can actually make a living off of it.
Goodness. Right, absolutely.
Those conversations drive me forward. That's the conversations with people, heart-to-heart conversations that matter, with people who matter, who are doing things that matter in the world. I get so jazzed when I wake up in the morning and I know that I have somebody like that. The conversation with the woman with her business for 10 years who doesn't know how to monetize things like that, I blew her mind like 10 times in the hour that we were talking because she's never really thought about how to monetize things. And that makes my day to see that I'm, because the service that she's providing is also life-changing. So I'm helping her go from helping 15 people a month to 1,500 people a month, and the world is a better place. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
No, absolutely. So you touched on it a little bit. You know, when we were talking about, you know, I was the nurse practitioner and, you know, this, and so tell me how you transitioned, you know, who were you before you became the online sales systems strategist and everything that you're doing right now? Like why did you become a nurse practitioner real quick? And then how did you transition? What was that moment of transition from the nurse practitioner to becoming the sales online and entrepreneur?
Oh, I had the perfect storybook life. I mean, I made six figures. I was considered a doctor by most people. Everybody could, as a nurse practitioner, like I had my own clinic. I was running my own clinic as a single provider clinic. So no matter what you tell people, oftentimes you are the doctor and I have all these special things. And like I was living in Tucson. I was quite happy going into it. I loved my patients. I loved my work. I liked the people that I worked with. But I was working 100 hours a week and I was absolutely miserable. And now, you're a doctor, nurse practitioner, you're a workaholic. No, I'm not. But I'm an impactaholic. Ooh, I just made a neologism. I'm an impactaholic. And when I showed up at work as a nurse practitioner And I worked at a federally qualified health center. So I was working with people who didn't speak English, who did not have any health insurance, whose average level of education was fifth grade, and who probably did not have any documents to be in the country. And I was helping people on the margins of the margins of the margins. Oh, and I don't remember if I said it, but they had no money either. So every day. And that's really impactful. It's really feels really good to do that, right? But if I have a fever of 104 degrees and I decide not to go to work one day, 20 people who needed health care will not get it because they won't go anywhere else. They could see me for $15 and they would have to pay $150 to see some doctor at the hospital who might turn them in for not having papers and didn't speak Spanish anyway. And two of those people will go to the hospital who didn't need to because I wasn't there.
Right.
And I felt so intensely pressured every single day. I have to go to work. I have to do this thing. And I got to tell you, when I wouldn't go to work, I would feel so guilty. And I took a one-week vacation my second to last year, and the guy who took my place was not good to my staff. He was not good to my patients. I was really unhappy about it. Some bad things happened to people that wouldn't have happened that I was there. So I didn't take another vacation for a year, and I took a two-week vacation, last-ditch effort. Like, I love serving people. I was put on this earth to serve people in need in a way that's meaningful to me. But I needed a break, so I left for 2 weeks. I came back. One of my patients had had cancer for 2 weeks and had not been told. She died because the person covering for me was not there and did not engage. Another patient had cancer, a thyroid cancer, and had to have some things done to her that would not have had to been done had we diagnosed it right away and take care of it. I had another person with an abdominal mass, which was probably cancer, but nobody bothered to tell her for 3 weeks. This is general practice, by the way. I'm family medicine. Like, this is just like, you know, everybody off the
street. Yeah, right.
And I had a patient who was who'd had chronic wrist pain for 15 years, had fallen and hit her wrist, and had gotten an x-ray and asked for help with it. Turns out her wrist was broken for 3 weeks before anyone bothered to tell her.
Wow.
And I said, I can't do this. I can't get a break. I'm working $80 to $100 a week. When I do take a vacation, I come back and I'm furious. The person was also a jerk to my staff and was really rude to my staff, and they were like, don't ever leave again. And I'm like, I can't live this way. I need to have a life. I love being in healthcare. I love serving in healthcare. I went to school for 12 years to be a nurse practitioner, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I certainly put in my educational dues, and I would still go back to being a nurse practitioner. No problem. I love the work.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't do it full time because that's what caused me to burn out. So after that 2 week vacation, I was like, I'm done. I got to find a way to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. I looked into doing it part-time. It didn't feel right. I said, I need a complete break because not only am I really comfortable financially and egotistically, like, it's really easy for me to just be this, like, kind of revered person, like, oh, you're the doctor, you're the nurse practitioner, like, whoa. And I was one of the best ones in the city. Like, people would come from all over. The Spanish speakers would come from all over to find me and talk to me, and I just but I didn't get to have a life. I couldn't have any activities. I couldn't have any relationships of my own. I couldn't have, and I was just miserable and burned out. And after that 2 week vacation, the world started losing its color. I started losing my compassion. Everything started looking gray, and I was depressed and feeling unhappy and just like, oh, really, really just, I turned to my assistant at the time, who was a close friend of mine, and said, you know, I've hit the 85% mark. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, my compassion, which is one of my strongest characteristics of my entire being, is my level of compassion for other people. That's why I became a nurse, has slipped below 85%. Once I slip below 85%, I'm going to start getting cynical and jaded. And I'm going to start saying things about patients that, like, you know, that kind of gallows humor, like emergency room humor.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It was 6 months until I was gone. And she said it to me about 3 months later. She's like, you're out the door. I'm like, I got to go. I can't be compassionate anymore. And my patients deserve me at my best. And I'm not. that person, and I can't do that for them. So I.
So is that your is that your moment of transformation? I mean, was that it? Like that 85%, like you were kind of self-aware, right? And said, you know, I'm falling below that. Like, I just can't do this anymore. And you made kind of a conscious decision.
It was. That was the moment I decided. And because I knew that from here on out, like I was 4 years as a nurse practitioner and almost 5 years as a nurse. Like I had a good run. And I still go back and practice occasionally. Like I still have a license, but that was the point of transformation where I knew, like, it's kind of like you can manage up till a certain point and then you're going to tank. I knew I was going to tank. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to go downhill from here. I have to plan how to make my life have meaning and feel that I'm making a meaningful impact and still honoring that I am a human being connecting with other human beings and not just a robot that provides healthcare that happens to get paid really well and be highly esteemed for it. I can't be that anymore.
Right. Yeah. So you transition from, so how did you get from, what was that moment from the nurse practitioner to the online sales? Did you join an MLM or network marketing? Did you do affiliate marketing? Like, what was that? Okay, I'm done here. That chapter's closed. What was the next step?
You know, I was burnt. That step actually didn't happen until 6 months later. So I left my nurse practitioner job knowing that I was going to go to Japan and study. I said, I need to be a beginner again. I want to not be the one who's on top, not be the one who's like in charge of everything. I need to be a rank newbie at something I'm not good at and just let my ego deflate a little bit and just get some time away. So I went to Japan. I took a couple of weeks to get all my stuff together in April of 2014, March. I quit in March. And then in April I went to Japan, to Okinawa. And I signed up for a 6 month course in Japanese. And I spent 6 months learning Japanese before I got there. And then I got there and I was in a course and I was living with other people essentially in a dorm situation with a couple of Vietnamese girls who were also students in my course, and basically did nothing other than go to class and hang out for 3 months. And then after 3 months, I started feeling not so burned out. Like, hey, I don't feel so awful anymore. But I also don't really want to go back to nurse practitioning. And I said, okay, what I'm really savoring right now is the freedom, the ability to move around. Like, I'm a hard worker, for goodness sake. I've worked hard my whole life and I'm not afraid of it, but I don't even know where to start. So I spent 3 months searching and looking online, like, how do people do this? Because that's when I learned what a digital nomad was, you know, the laptop lifestyle, right? Like, the 4-hour work week, like all the Mai Tais, sipping Mai Tais on the beach, working, you know, 10 minutes a day. Spoiler alert, it does not look like that. However, I learned about that. And
we talk about it
all
the time. Yep, not real life.
All the time. Not real life. So then I spent 3 months really researching that because I still had 3 more months left on my program. And I realized that I need to launch into this. And so I ran out of money because I was supposed to have a year's worth of money, but I was used to living nurse practitioner lifestyle. So my money disappeared because I was living in an expensive country. Came back to the States to, turns out the person who took over my clinic was pregnant. So she was on maternity leave. So I came back to take care of the clinic for another month or something. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not done. I need to be gone again.
Right.
So I went all out through every piece of spaghetti at every wall I could find. And I applied for probably 100 jobs in the span of, I don't know, 2 weeks, 2 months, something like that. I was like, I have to make this work. I got 2 jobs at the same time. I got a job as a university faculty member at an online university, which I can teach online. So I got that. And then I ended up one of 50 applicants for this job at a company that helps medical researchers find participants for their medical trials. And out of 150 people, they picked me. Like, I got through a 6-week process to get this job. With things to do every week, probably 20 hours of work to do every week. And I was dedicated to get this job, which paid me like $500 a month plus commission, which could be anywhere from nothing to, you know, whatever. But I was, it was medical. It was research. It was talking to people in Australia. It was in a different country. The only thing I didn't have was sales experience. And he said all the way through the entire process, I was like, I want this. I will do whatever it takes to get this, no matter what. And I spent easily 40, 50 hours, maybe 60 or 80 on one application because I wanted this job that bad. And I beat out all the other people I interviewed. I interviewed probably 10 other people. Three made it to the final cut. Then two made it to the final cut. And then they gave me the job. And I asked him why. Because I'm like, I have zero sales experience. And I'm kind of intimidated by it. Like, I thought before I started that sales was inherently unethical. I'm like, only bad people do that because they have to say bad things and lie and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But I'm in this job where, like, okay, we're helping medical researchers, like, in advance the knowledge of science in the world. Like, that's pretty cool stuff. Like, that's pretty awesome. Like, I get to be a salesperson to help make diabetes, you know, to help make treatment of diabetes better. Like, I really like this. And he said every step of the way, like, you were on point. You immediately, every step of the way, like, even when the last three was me, and two people with 15 years of sales experience. And he had a sales coach do a second interview because he really wanted to pick me, but he's like, I can't. Like, she has no experience. And the sales coach did a backup interview with me, and he went back to the founder and he said, you got to hire this chick. No matter what you do, you have to hire her. And so he did.
Right. That's awesome.
Here I am. So
there you go.
That lasted for about a year and a half. And then I ended up moving on to a different opportunity, and I started working with that startup that I rocked it for in 2016. I still work with them, and now I do.
And just snowballs.
I'm transitioning. Yeah, I'm transitioning from sales into sales coaching. I'm doing both.
There you go.
I really enjoy kind of all of it because I can just get excited about it. But you know, now I'm excited about doing the coaching piece because it's like, oh, not only do I have this like level of knowledge in my head, but I also have, because I'm a nurse practitioner, I also have this secondary skill set of, I know how to talk to people. I know how to begin and end conversations. I know how to coach people. I know how to work with staff. I know how to, you know, handle a lot of things happening at once. And the going deep in the coaching, like, that, it's the next level for me. Like, I've been doing sales for about 4 years now and at the same place for about 2 years. And I'm like, you know, and I do my coaching on the side, which is it's so wonderful. And I want to go deep instead of, like, I've gone wide. Like, I just dipped my toe. I've had coaching from five different sales coaches. I've talked with thousands of different people selling, you know, half a dozen or a dozen different things. They've all been life-changing. I have not had to sell anything I didn't believe in. And I'm very grateful for that, but I've never been in the financial position where it's like, sell something you don't like or go hungry. I've designed my life so that that doesn't happen and that can't happen and won't happen because of my own value system. And I ended up with a totally different view on what sales is than 99% of people out there. And I get to live my dream life doing my dream job. Now, I'm not sipping Mai Tais on the beach for 4 hours a week, but frankly, I wouldn't be happy doing that anyway. I want to be out there making an impact, talking to people, and having exciting things happen.
Right. So I ask every sales expert, I ask them this very simple and dumb question. So the sell me this pen, like, do people do that? Like, do they really do
they
that?
Do.
Like, sell me this pen. Like, oh my God, why? Everybody's answers are different,
really,
but why
do
they do that? Like, are they trying to test you? Like, you ever seen a big guy, like, walk into a bar, like, oh, I got to test this guy? Or, like, the new guy in jail, like, oh, I got to test this guy. And is that what they do? Is that just kind of a thing of the industry? Is they just try to test you? Like, let's see really how good you are?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, in my mind, it's mostly lack of creativity. It's like, you don't know what to ask, but you want to kind of hear what their sales skill is. Like, sell me. Because, and a pen is something that's always there, right? No, I mean, it's – and, you know, the right answer is, something to do with the, you know, value, or what, you know, what can you accomplish with this pen? Like, what does that mean to you? What have you used this pen for? Like, oh, well, I used it to sign a $2 million deal this morning, and wow, that's really cool. And this pen is really awesome. And like, you know, I've done that question a number of times. And I mean,
oh,
for me, it's, I hear it and I'm like, oh, come on. You can do
that's
better
awesome.
Than that.
Right.
Ask me a question about a situation I've been in and how I handled it, or how do I handle somebody feeling frustrated or this kind of objection, or, you know, did I do my homework about whatever it is that you do or something, but sell me this pen. Like, okay.
You know, I firmly believe that if you ask better questions, you get better answers. You know, if you ask really great questions, you get really great answers, you know? So
that's good sales in a nutshell. You just nailed it. That's the entire field of sales in like, what, 10 words. If you ask good questions, you'll get good answers and good information.
There you go.
I do my research as a salesperson. If I'm going to talk to somebody, like when I talked to I had a sales call this morning with this person with the blog with the millions of visitors and no money. Asking for help how to do that. I do my research as a salesperson when I'm going to talk to somebody in order to ask the right questions, not so that I know stuff about her. Or that I know the answers about her. I don't care what the answers are. I want to know what questions to ask her so that I can get her thinking about what her potential future could be like.
Every time I speak to an event planner, event coordinator, decision makers, whatever, about going into a corporate setting and consulting with them about their leadership, team building, whatever, I have a certain number of questions. You know, and then if I'm talking to an event planner, coordinator, whatever, about being booked at a conference, or if I'm talking to, you know, I have sets of questions already laid out, because over the years I've noticed that this question always comes up. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yep.
Let's put that down. So I literally have different sets of lists of questions that I pull from based on who I'm speaking to. You know, and if you don't have questions like a template, like already laid out of things that you absolutely have to know. Because you can always add in little like questions later. Like I do all my research on every conference, every organization, every place I'm ever going to speak at, train at, you know, whatever. I've already got it all laid out so that when I have that discovery call, there's nothing like, so what is it you do again? Like, I want to look professional. I want to look prepared. I want to know what I'm talking about, because they're inevitably going to ask me, you know, did you look at our stuff? Did you look at our marketing materials? Did you look at, yeah, totally did. You know, and I literally had somebody ask me, I was at a sales conference, and they were like, so did you look at the materials? I was like, absolutely, I did. She goes, what was our sales last year? I was like, oh, it was this much money in this person was your, because I was doing a sales banquet. I said, yeah, this person was your top seller. He sold this much money, you know, whatever. And they're like, well, all right then. like I reviewed all of the material, and I even have it in front of me, because I never know if they're going to ask me a certain question about this one subject, what I like, you know what I mean? So I always have all of the information, whether it be websites, Facebook, their media sheet, their whatever. I always have that stuff in front of me, ready to go. I'm always prepared with questions in hand.
You know, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I did it the half hour before this call was I did, and I'd done it in the past already, because when we were setting this up, I did it.
Sure.
But I did it again the half hour before we were doing this call for exactly that reason. Here's a funny story. So we're currently hiring at the startup that I consult with. And, so we're hiring new salespeople, and we had two interviews today, one of whom did exactly what we're talking about. She just nailed it. She knew everything about everything under the sun. And I'm like, yep,
awesome.
You got it. You know, you nailed it. and we had an interview right after her of this guy was just perfect. He had all the right things. He said all the right things. Like, he, personality wise, this is the kind of guy who's talked his way into everything in his life. And he will probably continue to be able to do that. Silver tongue. And one of our standard questions in the interview was, it's a school, it's an online boot camp.
Right.
So, I say, if you were to take one of our courses, which one would you take? And this is 20 minutes into the interview, and he goes, oh, well, I'm not really sure what you guys teach.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
You're out. You're done.
Yep.
It's
you
over.
Looked nothing
I mean,
up on our company.
You didn't. I mean, that's straight up, like, practically on our homepage. Like, yeah, you know,
like,
you're done.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, flabbergasted. Like, really? Like, this
yeah.
guy was like,
like, there's that awkward silence. Like, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So I have a couple two-part questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a couple two-part questions. Okay, so the first two-parter is, what was the best part about your transformation so far?
Oh, God, the relief. The relief.
The relief?
Of,
okay, fair enough.
Yes.
I thought it would be the countries you visited or the life that you led, but like, I think it's stress, right? Is what you're referring to maybe? Is the less stress or different kind of stress that you experience?
The truth is, it's not even that. Because, you know, I'm the kind of personality who likes to go out and do new things. And so like going to new countries is actually quite stressful. I love it and I'm really excited about it. But logistically, like when you don't have a home and you have to find a new place to stay every 2 weeks, like that's a lot of physical and emotional and decision fatigue type stress. But for me, what really was the moment was when I realized like this level of freedom and this level of doing what I want and this level of impacting in the world. Like I thought my impact in the world had to be within somebody else's box. So I saw 20 patients a day, 100 patients a week, 400 patients a month, 4,800, call it rounded up to 5,000 patients per year.
Wow.
A lot of people. I did that for 4 years. So that's what, 20,000 people who I helped directly. That's only the patients I saw. That's not counting the ones whose ER reports came across my desk or that called in for help. So I don't know, call it 30,000 people that I helped total. That's really powerful. And yet it's still constrained because I can only help a certain number of people per day. And I have to do that within somebody else's framework. And that was really confining to me. And I never liked that. That always felt frustrating. And so when I realized that I can design my own life, and I can create that same level of impact because I worked for one of the most impactful healthcare systems in the country. It's one of the few places people who I served can go. I can make that level of impact and still have a life and still have relationships and still have fun and hobbies. Like the feeling that when I got that was like my entire body went from completely tensed up to like a wet noodle in a hot tub. Like, oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I am so relieved that the life that I dreamed of and the impact that I dream of can happen and I can still have a human life and be around other people and have hobbies and do fun things.
That's awesome. So the second part of that is, what has been the worst part about your transformation?
Probably disillusionment after a certain point. Like when I first started doing it, that part of that relief was like, oh my God, the laptop lifestyle, the digital nomad, like everything's going to be hunky dory. And you know, there's not going to be any more real life. Like I'm just going to make a gajillion dollars. Cause when you start your first sales job, like, you know, they make it sound really great. Like this is going to be really easy. And you end up working your butt off for like 500. I averaged $1,300 a month for the first 18 months of my career as a digital nomad.
Wow.
And that includes my accommodations, my food, my all of my travel. I learned how to travel hack because I couldn't afford to do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, the level of hard work that was required and the number of things that went wrong and like, oh, like I have to do this and I have to do the other thing. Like there was a point after about a year and a half in, which was when I quit the first long-term digital nomad job that I had, where I just felt really disillusioned. Like, you know, I thought I had this all figured out and I was really excited about it. And now I'm just like, well, this is just, this is just it's a different pile of nasty stuff, right? So you've got this pile of crap over here that you have to deal with. Now I've got a new pile to deal with. And I'm like, you know, and then the worst part of that is probably even more than the actual disillusionment was you're sitting here in Thailand complaining about your life. Come on. So then I started beating myself up about that. And but actually coming to terms with, you know, the reality of life is life and there are going to be difficult things no matter what. It's which difficult things, what are your struggles to bear? Like I have a saying for myself, that that's not my cross to bear. That's not my straw. That's not my battle to die. That's not my hill to die on. And as I've, you know, figured these out, my life has gotten better because I've stopped judging myself for not doing certain things, quote, correct, unquote. And I'm like, you know what? I work hard. I do, you know, I work on my own as a sales coach. I work for this startup as a salesperson slash sales coach. You know, I'm talking to other people on podcasts and doing other things. And you know what? I'm just building and designing and living as it goes on the life that I feel the most satisfied with and where I can make the biggest impact on the largest number of people.
Awesome. I love it. So who has been your biggest influencer up to this point?
You know, what's funny is what immediately came up for me was that the correct answer, literally in my head, was the correct answer would be Tim Ferriss. But
okay,
the truth
fair
is,
enough.
He's really not. I mean, that's literally like the quote correct answer, unquote. But what actually came to me was kind of a cheesy answer was my seventh grade math teacher. I was in the gifted and talented program up to sixth grade. And then when we went to junior high, they kick you off to the real world, so to speak, to the regular junior high. And I was put three grade levels ahead in this math class with this teacher. I just thought I was the coolest kid ever. Like, I'm in 10th grade math. I'm a 7th grader. I'm a gifted and talented kid and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I got halfway through my first semester in this class, and I was getting a D. I was barely passing this class, and I had no idea. And I went to the teacher, and I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, what did I do? Mr. Belter, don't remember his name. Ask him what his first name was, and he says, Mr. He was one of those kind of people.
I love it.
He was pretty awesome. He was very, very himself. And he told me, like, he told me exactly what was happening, what I was doing wrong, and exactly how to fix it. I went and pulled an all-nighter as a 13-year-old to do everything that I hadn't done for the first 2.5 months of this course, and came back and handed it all in the next day. And he was just completely flabbergasted, and he looked at me like, no, I didn't even give you a timeline because I knew this would take a long time, and, you know, black rings under my eyes as a 13-year-old, and I'm like, you told me what I needed to do. You gave me a direction, and I went and did it. And he said, well, unfortunately, because this is so late, this only brings you from a D+ up to a C+, but here's what you can do the rest of the term so that, you know, you can do this. I did, and it was a really hard class for me, and I ended up getting a C in the class, but I cherished that C, and I worked harder for that C than I did anything else in my junior high and high school career, and that taught me what it was to not fall behind and to ask for very direct feedback and take it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh,
so who's
God,
been your biggest
supporter
then?
My biggest supporter. Wow. That, you know, as a digital nomad, that's one of the biggest, most difficult questions to answer as a group of people, because we move around constantly. I have a lot of friends who are digital nomads. I have a lot of friends from when I was living in Wisconsin and living in Tucson, and I have friends now all over the world. But for people to support me, it's really hard for them to do it. I would say, if I'm going to give an honest answer, it would be my sales coach, the one who coaches me. He's coached me through several different jobs. And he works remotely as well. And there's two people that come to mind. There's him and a professional sense. It's a friend of mine who's always been all about freedom. She worked for a gas company because she loved being outside, and she went and checked meters all day. And then she worked at an airport because she called it having her wings. She could fly all over the country and the world because she was working for the airline. And she likes to move around and travel a lot. And she's one of the only people who I can really talk to about this stuff and not have them just straight up be jealous of everything I'm telling them. Because I have a life too, and there are things that are awesome and there are things that are hard. But it's really difficult to talk to people about something when they're jealous of you. it's not their fault. You know, like I'm leading this lifestyle that looks like the coolest thing that could ever happen. And at this point in my career, I'm doing well financially again. And I've like basically made it, like I've replaced my nurse practitioner income and then some. And
perfect.
I'm able to have a life and I'm able to do the things I want to do. And it's like, okay. And even so, real life still happens. You know, anxiety still happens. Depression still happens. Like crappy things still happen. You know, I just found out that one of my favorite people in the world is about to get fired from her job, you know, and that, you know, and she works with me directly. Like I support her, I coach her and, you know, bad stuff still happens, you know?
Yeah.
So life is life, you know, I was feeling a little down today because I found out that thing about my coworker and I'm like, gosh, that really sucks. You know, life still happens and you still have to need support from other human beings to, frankly, having, rather than a person, the thing that has supported me the most during this time, has been my daily practice of gratitude. Without that, I would not still be here.
Yeah, I'm doing a 66-day Facebook Live gratitude challenge. Every day I go on Facebook Live and I talk about two blessings that I've had today, not ever, but like this day. And then the third blessing is a way that I blessed someone today. So I have to find a way to be a blessing to somebody, whether it be I write a gratitude letter, I buy somebody's coffee, I buy somebody lunch, I make a phone call and say how much I am thankful for them or whatever, but I'm just a blessing to somebody, you know, gift them with a book or whatever. So yeah, gratitude is got to be the number one thing that you do every day, whether it be count blessings
absolutely.
Or be a blessing. Have to. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that
to.
About be a blessing. I've tried just about everything out there on gratitude and mindfulness. I actually had a business at one point. Technically, you'd still find it, but I had a business at one. I've started, failed, succeeded, started, failed again, succeeded some more at you know, a half a dozen different businesses because that's what you do when you're an entrepreneur, right?
That's what we do, right?
One of them was a mindfulness business where I talked specifically about – actually, I was helping nurse practitioners not be burned out. It turns out I didn't want to help other people not be burned out. I just didn't want to be burned out, so that didn't end up working out for me. But gratitude was a big part of that, and I've tried all these different gratitude things, you know, and the journaling style and the gratitude jar and the, but I really like that of, because my gratitude practice is twice a day in the morning, and in the evening, and I'm very auditory, as you might have noticed, you know, as you are, you know, that's why you're doing the live challenge.
Yeah.
So I speak to myself, I record myself speaking every night. Three things that I'm grateful for and, you know, wonderful things that happened. And I'm totally stealing that about how was I a blessing. Consider that stolen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Do it. It changes your life, I'm telling you. So
absolutely.
I have another two-part question for you.
Go
a little
for
tougher
it.
Now. What was the best resource that you found during your journey with no one's help?
Tropical MBA podcast, hands down.
Okay,
that was
tropical. What is it?
MBA
is it tropical?
As in MBA, as in Master of Business Administration, like the master's degree. Tropical.
Okay,
MBA,
okay, I got it.
Which is ironic because I don't really follow them that much anymore, and they totally don't fit my style. But they were there when I needed them, and I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've learned that everything comes in for a reason or for a season, a short time, a long – like I've had people come into my life for a month, change my life, and then I move on. You know, like that's just the way it happens. You know, people come in, they do whatever people are put in front of you for whatever reason. They've used that reason or you've – because we never know when we come into someone's life, you know, for just a short time, whatever, and change their life. But absolutely, you know, things change. So,
you know, and ironically, I said they don't fit me anymore. And I realized as soon as I said that, I'm in a group for successful entrepreneurs who've had a number of successful businesses that is run by one of those two guys. So even though I don't like listen to the podcast anymore, I'm still involved with them and they're still making my life better.
Right.
So anyway, this podcast, the Tropical MBA podcast, was what I found when I was sitting on my little tatami mat in Japan. I had, there was four of us sleeping in one little room. We had so little space that our elbows were touching when we were asleep, the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would curl up into a little ball inside my, on my futon in the tatami mat, which the futon in Japan and Japanese is actually it's a type of mattress. We actually stole the word from Japanese, and it means nothing like what we think it means in English. So I'm sleeping mm-hmm. on the Japanese futon on the tatami mat floor, and I'm the lights are off, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I would listen to it for hours. I would listen to it for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. They had hundreds of episodes already at the time. And the premise behind it is you could go to an MBA school, you know, and drop 50 or 150 grand and go into debt and try and find the, you know, how to make your business an entrepreneurial thing. Or you could mm-hmm. save up a couple grand, move to Thailand, start listening to a bunch of people, hang out with a bunch of cool people who are doing the same thing, live on the cheap, baseline your business at 500 bucks a month, you know, and within 4 to 6 months, find a way to make yourself at least 400 or 500 bucks a month, because you can live on that in Thailand, and then you just bootstrap it from there and just keep going and don't. And that was the entire idea for the podcast. And they already had 250 or 300 episodes by that point. I think they're over 500.
Wow. Now. Holy crap.
And I just binge listen to these because I'm like, this is possible. This is a thing. This is possible. Oh my God. And I listened to all 250 episodes in about a month.
Wow.
And I was,
wow.
It was easily by far the best resource for me when I, and it was all
that's
free.
That's awesome.
They may charge yeah. for it now, but I don't. It's a podcast.
Okay.
They're not going to charge much.
Sure. So the second part of that is, who gave you the best resource that you have used during your journey, and what was the resource? So who gave you the best resource, overall best resource that you've used, and what was that resource?
You know, this might not make sense, but I'm going to say it anyway, and it's kind of surprising to me as well. So the best resource that I've used is actually Zoom. Do you know what Zoom is?
Oh, I love Zoom. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
I love Zoom.
Yeah,
I think it's better
ago.
than a lot of things out there. Some people use Webinar Jam. Some people use – I mean, Skype's great, you know, because they're starting to make different rooms and stuff. You can fit more people. But man, Zoom is just it's the thing, you know. Zoom's the best.
Changed my life.
Yep.
I was frustrated with webinar software. I was frustrated with Skype as a communication tool. There was just so many things that didn't really work with it. And I was like, I'm not about blogging. I'm not about writing. Like, I can do it. I'm actually very good at it, but it's not what really trips my trigger. What really trips
right.
my trigger is audio, video, where I can make a direct impact and see it and be part of it. Feel it, see it, taste it, touch it, experience it. Like, that really turns me on. And there were so many technical issues in the way. I was mostly using Skype, but it really frustrated me. And Stephen Bukowski, great guy. I worked with him for just
mm-hmm.
a couple of months at that first my first sales job. And he was the one who introduced me to Zoom, and I hated it. I said, that's stupid. Can we just use Skype? We all know Skype.
I said the same thing. I was like, this is stupid. Because I was using Skype all the time. I'm like, this is stupid. Yep.
And now I spend 2 to 3 hours a day on Zoom.
Yep.
And it has changed my life.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. I gotcha. So so as we close the show, let's talk about where you're headed now. Okay. So we talked earlier, like the states or the countries and stuff that you're headed to, but what about like any new adventures, any new businesses, family, like what do you got on the horizon?
So my biggest thing right now is, so I've been doing this sales coaching informally for about a year and a half. I've been doing sales for about four, and I've been coaching informally for about a year and a half. And I have really decided to go for the coaching as I want to do this as a thing. And it just turned out, I talked to the startup and I told them that, like, you know, I might need to transition out. Like, here's the thing I want to do. I really want to do more coaching than sales. And it turns out that's exactly what they were hoping for. And I went, wow, synchronicity on that one. So we're talking about that with them, and that feels really good. And also, I started about 2 months ago actively looking for people to coach in a sales fashion. Because it turns out that there is lots of good salespeople and lots of good coaches. There are extremely few good sales coaches because the skill sets are so radically different that it's hard to find both of them in one person. And it's like it's my ambrosia. Like I sit talking to people about money mindset and about starting up a new thing and trying a new business and my business is doing this. I'm just pleased as punch and delighted to have those conversations about communicating and relationships and talking to people and setting stuff up. And oh God, it's so much fun. So I really, that's a pretty new thing for me. Like I just, my last business was in language learning, you know, big surprise. Miss Polyglot speaks a bunch of languages. And I just wasn't quite feeling it. The business model that I chose wasn't really working. So I decided to go for the sales coaching thing. And I got to tell you, I'm having a blast. I love talking
That's
to people
awesome.
About it, and I love doing it. So I'm delighted.
Perfect. What are the languages that you speak?
So fluently, I speak English, Spanish, and Portuguese. At an intermediate level, I can speak French, German, and Mandarin Chinese. At a advanced beginner, where I can hold conversations, but only if you talk real slow and use small words, is Italian and Japanese. And I just started learning Russian maybe a month ago, because one of my closest friends is a native Russian speaker, and I want to have a secret language with her. And because we spend a lot of time in Europe, Spanish and French aren't good enough. So I've decided to take on her mother tongue. So that we can have a secret language and talk about people, you know, really, really important high-level stuff. Like, I want to have a secret language with my best friend.
Right.
There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. So this is the point in the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quote, your websites, Facebook, products, give a shout-out, whatever you want. This is your moment to shine. Go.
Oh, I'm absolutely shameless, right? Like I'm in sales and I do it because I love it. The best way to shamelessly connect with me is on my website, samalvarez.com. Pretty easy. I have a number of other stuff out there. If you like Renaissance people, like between the intro and everything on the end, like I've done a lot of different things in my life. You can find out about a lot of those professional things. Yeah, there are two ways to connect with me. Number one is the website. Number two is LinkedIn. I love talking to people on LinkedIn as well because it really makes sense for all the conversations that I'm having. You can find me on about 50,000 places on the web. You know, if you want to go and learn about languages, go find my language stuff. If you want to learn about being a digital nomad, go check out my YouTube channel. Like, there's all kinds of stuff all over the place. But the stuff I'm talking about now and this transformative stuff and where I'm going now and what I'm excited about, samalvarez.com. And find me on LinkedIn, and we will connect, and let's have a conversation.
There you go. Love it. I loved hearing about your journey, loved hearing about the sales and everything you're creating. It's been amazing, and you've been an amazing guest. I want to thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome. It's my pleasure. I was delighted with our pre-chat. Yeah, that was really fun, and I really enjoyed that, and this was even cooler. So I'm just pleased as punch.
Awesome. As we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Start now. Don't wait.
Start now.
I was miserable
for
a long time, and the moment I started, not even to succeed. I failed like 1,000 times before I succeeded, but the moment I started – that I actually said, I'm doing this now. When I made that decision, the two points that we talked about were when I said, my compassion is 85% gone. And I said, I have to change, not, I really should, or I really want to, or I really need to, but I have to change right now because this is terrible. And then when I was studying in Japan and I said, I have to do this, I found Tropical MBA and said, I cannot go back to where I was. Those moments when I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. What that looks like for me was absolutely life-changing.
Awesome. So give us a call to action. What should someone do today? What would be the first step?
For me, it was, I'm a planner. You know, I'm very spontaneous with my day and with my my relationships and my conversations, but I'm very much of a planner with my year and with my long term. So I have a year-long plan that I do, and I will have I wrote a course about it at one point. Of course I did. I wrote a course on reclaim your life, what they call it, reclaim your life, something about achieving and setting and achieving meaningful goals, because that's what I do for myself. I set out a yearly plan where I sit down and I'm like, okay, I want to do, these are the things I want to do. Frankly, my plan for 2017 is completely trashed. Like, I've done almost none of the things on the plan. But the fact that I sat down and paid attention to my inner voice and said, what is it that I want? What is it that I'm here for? What's the impact that I'm meant to make in this world? I've always known that I was put here to do something really meaningful, but what is that? Because when you start figuring out that whatever you're doing isn't it, when you sit down and listen to that voice, whatever that looks like, if it's a long-term plan, if it's a, oh God, like I can't do this, you know, soul-sucking job for one more day, or oh my God, I really have to do this other thing, like just to take that moment to listen to yourself and make a plan, do a thing, doesn't matter what action you take, but to listen to that voice and do something that you can do in the next 15 seconds to take the first step.
Perfect. I love, wow, I wrote that down. I'm going to keep that.
It's all yours.
That's
you
awesome.
Can steal that. I'm stealing your awesome, blessing
yeah.
other people thing. That was a good one.
Yeah. Perfect. So, Sam, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm sure that we will talk again soon. And I just really, really appreciate you, you know, being on the show and being so vulnerable and authentic.
I am grateful to be here. No, really. I'm going to tell you flat out. I had kind of a bad day today. Some bad stuff happened. I got some bad news, like really frustrated.
Yeah.
And talking to you, being on the show, knowing that you and I are going to create this meaning-making relationship and creation for other people,
right.
Like, yeah, this just made my day. So thank you for having me here. I'm really, really
Perfect.
Grateful.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much again. And I'm sure we will talk again. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another episode with impactful guests who are just doing absolutely amazing things in the world. If anything Sam has said today resonated with you, find her on LinkedIn, on Facebook, go to her website, samalvarez.com, and then you can go to /media and you can find out all of the cool things that she's doing. You go to interviewsondemand.com/SamanthaAlvarez, and you can learn all kinds of things that she's been doing, all the shows she's been on. She is not hard to find. She's all over Facebook. She's just absolutely crushing life. So hook up with her, learn the sales. She is a sales systems strategist. This is what she does. So hook up with her and skyrocket your sales. If anything has resonated with you, leave a comment. You can like, share, all that. It's on iTunes and Stitcher within a day or two. And I want to thank everybody who has been listening to the show. And until next time, remember to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live up the values that you hold close to your heart. I call that living your brand. Have a good night.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.